This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Previously on Reunion.
Shark attacks in paradise.
But we were just told, don't say anything, don't talk about it. So, I don't know. It reminded me of the movie Jaws, when the policeman finds it hard to convince the mayor that the holiday season could be compromised. It was a little bit like that here. The shopkeepers didn't want to hear about sharks. They were saying, this isn't the right time, the holiday season is coming. It was like that. So there was pressure on us not to say anything.
When you say you felt it coming, do you mean that you felt the attack coming, or help me understand?
When I said I could feel things coming, it was just all the shark sighting over a number of years. The alarm bells were ringing, but we weren't listening to them. Should we be? Are we worrying about nothing? Should we just keep going like we normally do? So we could feel them coming to a certain extent, but we weren't acting on that feeling. I had the impression that I could feel it coming and that one day or another it would happen. But I didn't know that it would be that day. I didn't know that we were running a risk that day.
One of my earliest childhood memories is standing in cold, shallow water at Stinson Beach, north of San Francisco, as a tiny little boy, next to my big, strong father. Dad grew up in L.A., and he body-surfed Santa Monica and swam in the Junior Olympics and even played water polo at Cal, which is just a huge, macho big deal in California water culture. But I was growing up in urban hippie Berkeley, and I didn't have that confidence. So Dad took my little hand and pulled me shivering into hip-deep water as a wave charged right toward us. Just as that wave was about to hit me in the face, Dad let go of my hand and made a battle cry so that I yelled out too, and then we both punched the wave with our fists. I got knocked on my ass and Dad let himself get knocked over too, but he came up laughing, so I laughed and I said, again, Dad, let's do that again, and again, and again. For the rest of my life, in a way. I chose my graduate school based on local surf conditions, which maybe wasn't so wise. I wrote for surf magazines, which definitely wasn't so wise. And I wound up raising a family in San Francisco, which was downright insane, mostly because I didn't want to leave my surfing community here at Ocean Beach. This episode is not about me. It's about Olivier Marimutu, the Creole lifeguard and body surfer we met in episode 3. But I wanted to share that memory of my father and how it shaped the life I've led, because it has everything to do with how I think about Olivier's story, his emulation of his own father, his life in the water, and all that was taken away from him on September 19th of 2011. I'm Dan Duane, and this is Reunion, Shark Attacks in Paradise, episode 4. Sharks only kill white people, right? So let's begin this way. Tell me about yourself. Were you born on Reunion? How long has your family been on Reunion? You know, how did you come to be there?
I'm mixed race, which means I have a lot of different origins. So my dad's family came from India, from Pondicherry originally. And my mom is from Montpellier in mainland France.
Moi, je suis de 77.
I was born in 77. I grew up on the West Coast, maybe because my mother is from mainland France. She wanted to be close to the beaches. And they were the cheapest place to buy land on the island in the 70s. The people on Réunion don't necessarily love the ocean, but I didn't have anywhere else I could go where I felt as good as I did in the water. So I started off fishing on the beach and then fishing on a boat, and then I started spearfishing and then bodyboarding. And then I started competing. You know, Réunion is really like Jurassic Park. We knew this when we grew up with it. But as we learn more about how the environment worked and what environmental rules to respect, then we were relatively safe. So as an adolescent, as a teenager, it was wonderful.
Olivier was talking, by the way, about Boucan Canot, the beach where Eddie Aubert was killed. And because Boucan is the setting for the whole story we're about to hear, I want to kind of repaint the picture just a little. About a half mile of white sand, ultra-luxe hotels at both ends, and on the inland side of the beach, trees shading a super fun little strip of snack bars and bistros. Olivier grew up there with a crew of friends, including one named Mathieu Schiller.
Mathieu, un petit peu comme ceux qui ont eu des...
All of us have known each other for a long time. Mathieu especially, because he was at Boucan Beach. So yeah, we knew each other since elementary school. We started surfing at about the same age, in 88, 89. In our group of friends, Mathieu really was like the heart and soul of the group. He had a very strong energy. He was really motivated and... there was a lot of solidarity between us.
Now, Mathieu became the heart and soul of something even bigger at age 16, when he entered a bodyboarding contest on Réunion with an international field. Mathieu wound up beating the sport's goat of goats, 9-time world champion Mike Stewart. This was such a big deal that local TV news shows were all over it.
The surprise of the day is him, Mathieu Schiller, beating Mike Stewart in a round of 16.
Well, I don't know what to say on this. I'm a little moved. It gives me great pleasure.
Does this maybe open doors for you, like the hope to go ever, ever farther?
Je sais pas trop quoi dire sur ce point-là. Je suis un peu ému.
Oh, for sure. If I managed to beat Mike Stewart, I don't see why I couldn't beat the others.
Mathieu did beat a lot of others over the years. Sponsors started sending him overseas to compete.
J'ai fait champion de la Réunion cadet, champion de France cadet.
I was Réunion youth champion, of France, 7th at the European Championship, and 9th at a professional competition that took place in Saint-Loup 2 years ago.
Alors, Mathieu, how did you start bodyboarding?
Well, that goes back to 91. At the time, I would wash cars to make some money.
Mathieu, le dauphin. Je voudrais savoir, Mathieu, qu'est-ce que tu pourrais dire au...
Alors, Mathieu, the dolphin, I'd like to know, Mathieu, what would you tell the kids who are listening to us, who may be a bit scared to get started?
Face à des monstres sacrés comme toi, j'aurais un petit peu la trouille, alors est-ce que tu peux...
J'ai qu'une seule chose à dire, c'est que tout est possible.
You know, I only have one thing to say, and it's that anything is possible. But they should throw themselves into it, and that it's by taking hits that you succeed in life, and in sport. It's the same thing.
It sure was for Mathieu. He was French national bodyboarding champion in 1993, led the French squad to a European team championship in 95, and was briefly ranked number 45 in the world. Great looking guy too. Smaller and more compact than Olivier, with butterscotch brown hair and a smooth brown tan and dreamy, confident eyes, like a young French Paul Newman. When Olivier got bodyboarding sponsors of his own, the boys traveled and competed together overseas. Can you imagine how fun that must have been? A couple of 20-something island kids flying around the globe, riding big waves together and having a blast. The money side wasn't there long term, though. There just isn't much money in pro bodyboarding. So Olivier eventually settled back home, right on Reunion where he'd grown up, and he built a civil service career as a lifeguard in emulation of his father.
Well, my father was one of the first people to be trained as a swimming instructor on Reunion. He was a lifeguard, and he was the first person to train other lifeguards in the 1970s.
I love that, and it's definitely what got me thinking about my own dad. Just the calling of the water as a kind of vocation.
And after that, as well living on the beach, I saw him doing this, and that's why I wanted to become a lifeguard. There were a lot of waves, a lot of people who needed saving. I was able to share my love of the ocean and help people behave safely, specifically with my skills as a surfer.
I so get that, you know? We all want to play a role in the world, and that was a deeply honorable one. I think it also felt familiar to me in that in my own California upbringing, I was taught to seek a good life, but with a very holistic sense of what makes a good life. Being a civil service lifeguard and spending your days on the beach with friends and in the ocean and staying healthy and also really looking out for people and protecting them, that absolutely counted. My dad would have loved the sound of that.
Teaching people about his love of the ocean, a lot of kids really got caught in a spell and it snowballed very quickly. He was young, always ready to go to work and make things happen, you know, to really go for it. And so he ended up teaching surfing and also teaching the kids about the ocean. He would swim, he would dive, he would go free diving with the kids.
What do you recall? May I ask about the day that that Mathieu was attacked? Can you tell me about that day?
Yes, I can talk about it.
September 19th, 2011 was a major turning point in the life of Olivier Marimutu and also of Reunion Island.
It was another day in paradise. As you said, we were so lucky to have known the island the way it was before. You've been to Hawaii. People from Hawaii have been to Reunion and they said they'd never seen anything so rich. I lost my track here a bit. On that day, it started off as a normal day. I was working, I went to see Mathieu. There were waves, some colleagues were working, and there was a swell, 2 meters 50. We were there in the morning, we did a little body surfing. Mathieu's sister was there on a holiday. It was just a great day.
Olivier meant that he went to see Mathieu on the beach at Boucan-Canot, where a big swell was running. 2 meters 50 translates literally to about 8 feet. But it's important to know that Olivier was actually employing an old school Hawaiian way of describing wave height, in which the stated number generally translates to about half of the observed height of the wave face. I shouldn't get too sidetracked on this here. It's an old and thorny issue in surf culture with all kinds of apocryphal explanations. But for now, just trust me when I say that 8-foot surf under old surfer code actually means wave faces more like 12 to 15 feet, which is to say solid, macking, pumping, whatever you want to call it, the kind of waves that would look fantastic on the cover of a surf magazine. I got an email from Mathieu Schiller's sister, Aurélie, about her memory of that day.
My parents arrived in Réunion in the 80s. We lived at first at the foot of the beach of Bukankeno, a beach that became, for my brother and me, our kindergarten. Mathieu has always loved the sea. He loved to share his passion. He was always very attentive to others. He was a joyful, generous, communicative, and responsible man. He knew the sea and its dangers well. What surfer doesn't know them? He militated for the integration of the Réunionese who did not have access to the sea. He wanted to make them discover his passion and help them to break through in competition. On September 19th, we had just arrived on the island for a vacation. I had to leave the island to go to school in 1994. I then moved to metropolitan France to work. That day, the weather was nice and warm. The waves were magnificent. We were on the beach of Boucan with Mathieu in the morning. I was 6 months pregnant. We were talking about the future and our vacations on the island while watching the passage of a whale. Magical moments. Mathieu was preparing for a competition which was to take place the following weekend on the island. We invited him to come hiking with us, but because of the weather conditions, he preferred to train for the competition. We planned to stay 3 weeks, so nothing to worry about. Plenty of time.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
The surf was especially good in front of the lifeguard station. A big cranking right-hander. Olivier was off duty, of course, but he dropped by to see friends and get some waves. Mathieu was there too.
Oui, effectivement, ce matin-là, on a
so that morning we talked a bit and he was hesitating about whether he should go into the water or not.
Because, of course, of all of the attacks that had already happened, especially on Eddie Aubert, right down at the other end of Boucan, just 2 months earlier. Olivier and Mathieu had both known Eddie. Olivier had gone to high school with Eddie. Colleagues of his from that very lifeguard station had pulled Eddie out of the water.
Ce que les autres peuvent dire, la presse, tout le monde, boulot, parents, famille, enfin, à un moment donné.
And I said, whatever anyone says about this, whether it's the press or relatives, we know what we're doing when we go in the water. It's kind of like a pact. This isn't some senseless or reckless act. We know it's dangerous. So we had a long talk about it, and I still went into the water. Others followed, and Mathieu joined us later as well. There was really good energy that day. The lifeguards were happy, people were able to swim a little bit, they were playing in the waves. That's basically the same experience we've been living for the last 15 years. You know, we reached midday and we had a good break.
Olivier rode a bunch of waves and then told his on-duty lifeguard buddies to take a break and surf a little. He'd step into the lifeguard stand, keep an eye on things. Olivier didn't know it at the time, but that was a beautiful kind of high water mark in his life. That exact moment, I mean, when everything he'd spent years building was still so very whole, intact, rich with purpose and community and friendship. And also, That lifeguard stand where they all hung out together is really more of a two-story concrete building. There's a garage downstairs full of rescue equipment and double doors open to the beach, and an office upstairs that opens onto a sun-shaded deck where Olivier took up position. He recalls seeing Mathieu 50 yards offshore. Had he just ridden a wave and was paddling back out? Was he just waiting for a wave?
I was with the other lifeguards. I was looking out at the water. We were all watching. It just gone into the water. There was a big series of waves that had just gone by, and he let them go and went over them. He went further out, and as he came back down into this last big wave, he was attacked and held by the hips.
Le fameux rond, le fameux tache rouge.
I just saw the big red stain in the water. It was only 20 meters away from the beach. From that far, if you yell and shout, people hear you really well. All the people in the water, they also what happened. I did my job as a lifeguard, getting people out of the water so we could go in with the paddle boards.
Did you grab any particular equipment when you entered the water yourself?
They are big, thick surfer boards, so we can't float, but we are not totally immersed.
Qui fait qu'on est en flottaison, mais pas totalement immergé.
Were you the only person who went toward Mathieu?
Non, il y a un autre.
A friend of Mathieu's who came with me was also a lifeguard.
Il y avait un surfeur.
There were two of us. And there was a surfer who was with Mathieu. He was holding on to him. When we got out there, he was exhausted and he asked us to take over. So we took over. I went into the water. I grabbed Mathieu.
At this point, it bears mentioning that Mathieu Schiller had already been torn completely in half at the waist. Olivier was holding skin to skin in the blood-stained water, his childhood friend's upper body only. Were you able to get him onto the paddleboard, Mathieu?
Non. N'a pas réussi.
We didn't succeed.
I get the sense that the surf was just too big and breaking too hard. Olivier got knocked around by the waves and lost hold of Mathieu. When Olivier surfaced, he couldn't see Mathieu anywhere. And he was pretty worried about what was going on below him, right underwater. Olivier's body and those sharks still all around.
We were unable to bring him all the way in. It's already really hard to do that in the state that he was in. And of course, there were big waves and the shark came back when we were in the water. For us, that was huge, really strong message. Much too strong. It was awful.
Did you see the sharks?
Non. Arrivé vers le bord des.
No, no. When we're in the form of the wave, it's just a sensation you have.
J'ai eu des sensations plus lourdes.
The sensation that a shark is very close. I've heard other surfers say much the same. It's like you feel the presence.
Des sensations plus lourdes, mais une petite blessure, Vincent aussi. Mais on n'a rien vu du tout.
I had a really strong sensation that day, so I was really kicking really hard. I was kicking to make sure I could try to fend off any potential attack. That was how I tried to protect myself. If the shark came at me, he was going to be kicked. But we couldn't see anything while we were swimming. Everyone who was standing on the beach saw some shark fins coming out of the water. Someone yelled at me, No, don't look back. Don't turn back.
Fire department rescue divers showed up almost immediately. Those guys strapped on scuba gear and jumped in the water. Another surfer I met on Reunion, Laurie LeConstant, knew one of them.
And he went right after the attack, finding the body of Mathieu.
Oh.
They went right at the Boucan beach,
finding,
they saw, like, they find some evidence. And they saw that female bull shark coming right to us.
In other words, those divers saw evidence of Mathieu. It's a little unclear what exactly, like maybe a scrap of his surf trunks, and an enormous shark.
And there were two divers. They went under the coral reef, under a big coral, to hide.
Yeah. The divers went under the reef to hide.
They were 13 meters deep in the water, and they saw the big tanks coming towards them. Big female, gray, say enormous, and he's a good fisherman too. They hide in the coral reef like this for 5-10 minutes, he doesn't know. They hide, and the shark was turning around the coral like this. The big female was turning
looking for them.
Looking for them.
Yeah.
And the sharks turn around. Once she got away, like for a while, look at his teammate, they go up straight, no decompression, straight to the Zodiac, and we go.
That's a reference to the fact that in scuba, when you're down deep under all that water pressure, you have to come up slowly. It's called decompressing, or else nitrogen bubbles can form in your blood and cause a horribly painful condition called the bends, or getting bent. It can actually be fatal.
Better get a bend, this than
a bull shark on your feet.
At the very same time, I mean, Olivier, just right in the middle of this nightmare, still on that beach, a car drove up carrying Mayor Bello, the one who'd held the roundtable meeting at Town Hall and said the key to stopping attacks was getting surfers to play by the rules.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Now Bello stepped into an angry, freaked out crowd. People started heckling her. Bello does not take abuse from anybody, and she lost her temper. Here's a tape from news coverage, starting with Bello yelling back at the crowd.
Les vieux réunionnais interdisaient à leurs enfants
the old
de
Réunionnais
mettre le pied
forbade their children to set foot into this. I live on this island. You can shout if you want. It's the truth.
What is this? I've been living here for 20 years. We never had any problems.
I have lived here for 60 years.
What's the big deal? Do you know what's going on?
This is my country, sir.
It's your country and you don't know anything about it.
Local media went nuts with that whole story. Mathieu Schiller, local champion, killed. Mayor Bello verbally assaulted by angry surfers. Bello herself offending pretty much everyone by yelling, "This is my island."
Ça a provoqué une grosse fissure.
It created a real rift between people. People were saying to anyone who was a surfer or had a blonde there, publicly, people said, "Huh, sharks are gonna eat. You know, sharks only eat white guys."
Olivier is not blonde, just to be clear, nor were the vast majority of the surfers I met and saw on Reunion. But there's an old simmering tension on Reunion between Creoles and those newcomer French whites known as Zorés. The first big Zoré influx happened back in the 60s when the French government was building up infrastructure on Reunion. and offered all the best new civil service jobs to mainland French metropolitan types willing to relocate. The government also gave those people big bumps over the standard civil service salary scale. So all of a sudden, Reunion Creoles had to deal with tons of newcomers moving in, making way more money than everybody else. And those Zores did bring surfing to Reunion. Plus, all the shark attack victims up to that point in 2011, D'Argent, Eddie, and now Mathieu, really were Zore. So sharks kind of were only attacking Zores. And for any non-surfer freaked out about the cratering tourist economy, thinking maybe the whole nightmare was being caused by surfers ignoring the old Creole shark wisdom, it wasn't a stretch to blame the whole thing on Zores, and then to paint Zore surfers, at least mentally, as blondies. Often, as it happened with a French pun, bon à rien. Bon in French means good, of course, but à rien has two meanings. For nothing, as in good for nothing, but also Aryan, à rien, as in good Aryans. Damn Nazi blondies wrecking everything for everybody.
There were a lot of verbal attacks from everybody. To me, it was shocking and it absolutely destroyed me. I lost my footing and that all this internal conflict with all this confrontation. So I wasn't feeling very good. Even my family would say, hey, how are the sharks? It was like they gained pleasure in hurting us because we were just surfers. We didn't contribute to society. We were nobodies. All we were interested in were our waves. And that's how society sees us. We are weed smokers. That's how they see us. Good for nothing weed smokers, basically.
Olivier was a lot more than that, of course. He was a pro bodyboarder who'd surfed all over the world. A brilliant blue water spear fisherman. An immensely powerful open water swimmer. And, of course, a career civil servant dedicated to public safety. So brave that he'd leapt into the ocean to save a friend as two hungry bull sharks thrashed all around. But French society is as bourgeois as any, with the same conventional middle-class values that make a lot of us feel undervalued all over the Western world.
Our parents thought we weren't good for anything as well, because we don't correspond to the image or stereotype of somebody who's going to school to become a lawyer or a doctor. I'm a surf trainer or a lifeguard. That's just nothing, no part of society. That's how people perceive us. That's how I feel now.
Coming up next on Reunion, Shark Attacks in Paradise.
What is there not to love about sharks? They are such incredible animals. They have millions of years of evolution on their shoulders, which we don't have. And a lot of people tend to look at them as prehistorical animals. But I would like to challenge this perspective and think about these animals as a species that had a lot more years of evolution compared to humans. They have more senses than we do. We only have five, they've got seven. Did you know that?
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.
Reunion: Shark Attacks in Paradise is a production of Hyper Object Industries, Little Everywhere, and Sony Music Entertainment. It's written, reported, and hosted by me, Dan Duane. Executive produced by Adam McKay, Claire Slaughter, Harry Nelson, Dan Gallucci, and Jane Marie. Produced and engineered by Joy Sanford, Mike Richter, Dan Gallucci, and Jane Marie, with help from Zaylee Mahone. Edited by Dan Gallucci and Jane Marie. All final mixes by Mike Richter. Reunion: Shark Attacks in Paradise was interpreted by James Christie and Pauline Chardin. Special thanks to all of our voice actors, Fred Giel, Sandrine Ristello, Giulio Mendi, and Marley Otto, and to the many people on Reunion Island that helped make all of this possible.